Father, thank you that you have made it clear that whatever comes into our life is your will. And Lord, you have a purpose in everything. And I pray that you would work in our lives to mold us and shape us into the image of your Son. And Lord, I pray that we would be thankful. Maybe not for the method, but for the results. Search my heart. Remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me. Use me as your instrument. Open our understanding that we may grasp your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The scope of thankfulness that's laid out here is everything. You see that? In everything, give thanks. Well, that covers a lot of territory. There's a lot of things that happen in our life that's not our first response to. We get up in the morning to go to work. We have a flat tire. We don't automatically say, let's give thanks for that flat tire. We have a lot of stuff that goes on in our life that is for a purpose, but we don't understand the purpose. And so it becomes an irritation to us. So what kinds of things do we give thanks for? I think we all give thanks for the good things that we recognize as good things. But what about the other things? The things included in all things. Well, first let's look at why we want to give thanks for all things to start with. Look what he says in Romans 8, 24 through 28. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. There we have that all things again. What about the things that we deem as bad things? Well, you see, God is fashioning us into the image of his Son. When we come to Christ, we come with baggage, amen? We all have stuff that's in our life. Jesus saves us just the way we are. We don't have to change a thing to be saved. We come to the Lord with all this baggage, and he loves us, and he forgives us, and he wipes the slate clean. He seals us for heaven, and we're through. But God's not through. You see, he loves us too much to leave us that way. And he begins a work in our life to mold us and to shape us. Sometimes that's painful. You know, when we have things coming up like Miss Crystal's surgery, that's going to be painful to her. But why does she submit to that? Because the result is good. That's the same thing with God working in our lives. Sometimes the method is painful, but the results are good. We would never change were it not for the struggles that we go through in life. The suffering is what molds us. And so we need to be thankful for that. You see, this world is going to be over with really soon. For us, anyway. It may go on for a few more years for others, but for us, it's going to be over with pretty soon. And so God has to do whatever he's going to do in molding us and shaping us while we're here. And so some of the stuff is awful things. Amen? There's some awful things that happen in our lives. We read all the time about terrible things that happen in families. And we lose loved ones. And we have diseases. And all those things we're to give thanks for. Let's see if we can understand that. Listen to Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. When awful things come into our lives, when very difficult things come into our life, the Lord says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He'll direct your paths. You see, if I lean to my own understanding, things that seem awful will get me down. But knowing that God is in control of my life, I can just grab my best hope and hang on. Because God is at work, and He's going to do something in my life that is going to be useful for His purpose. You remember that verse in Romans 8, 28 that we just read? He says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. You see, God's purpose is not always our purpose. We want to be rich and famous and happy and painless and all those things. But what God wants is for us to shine the light of Jesus to the world. In order to do that, He's got to rub off some rough edges. And He's pretty good at that. And sometimes things that we think are awful things turn out to be good things. You know, I think I've shared before, I was witnessing to a young man at a store. And it was real busy. And I needed a few minutes to witness to him, and it's about 40 people waiting to get checked out, and he was the only checker. I said, Lord, how in the world am I going to witness this guy? He won't understand a word I'm saying with all this going on. And while I was praying, there's a big bang outside. It's a bright, sunshiny day. I look up, and it's just a torrential rain outside. Everybody in the store, why I don't know, everybody in the store ran out. And it's just me and him. And so I asked him, I said, do you have peace in your heart? If you were to die, you'd go to heaven. He said, no. He said, matter of fact, I was just sitting here praying that if there's really a God, send somebody to tell me how to be saved. And I said, well, He sent me. So I witnessed to him, and he was ready to pray, and here come all those people back. He jumps up and starts checking them out. And I said, Lord, give me 5 more minutes. Just 5 more minutes. Boom! I said, that's not going to work twice. And I look up, and 2 cars had run together out front. Everybody run out to look at the wreck. He was going to go too, and I grabbed him. I said, let's pray. So he prayed and received Christ as his Savior. As a matter of fact, 2 or 3 years later, I was going up on the old Central Hardware parking lot, and this guy hollered at me across there, and he said, I'm still saved. I said, well, that's good. And so on my way home from there, the Lord just spoke to my heart. He said, you know those guys that had that wreck out front? They won't know till they get to heaven what that was for. Now, I know they saw that as a bad thing. It was something that they would not have chosen. They got up in the morning and said, I hope I have a wreck today, you know. They, you don't go out like that. But God used that for His purpose. And it made an eternal difference in that young man's life. And they get credit for that. And so that's the reason God says when awful things happen, just trust me. You know, a lot of times when things happen, that's the question. God says, do you trust me now? Do you trust me in this? Yes, you trust me when everything's good, but what about now? What about when everything looks bad? When awful things happen, do you still trust me? It's the same God. And God's directing our life. He's working things out according to His purpose. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. I'd rather have Jesus running my life than anybody I know. Now, I say that having been through a lot of awful stuff. But I know that God is greater than every awful thing that he allows in our life. And it always works out for good. And some of it, I don't even know yet what the good was, but I will one day. I remember one time Pam and I were moving, and we had everything we owned on the back of an old truck. And the old truck was raggedy, and it, matter of fact, the only way you could shift it, I put a pair of vice grips on the column. It was one of them three speeds on the column. And I could have, I had to get out under the hood and change it. I could either have reverse and low, or I could have second and high. So I would get the truck positioned. We lived on a hill, to go down the hill, and then I would get out and put it in second gear, and that's the way we go down the hill. Well, we were moving, and I had put an ironing board up on the top, and I forgot to tie it down. So here we go, rolling down the hill, and we get the truck going fast enough, you know, to get it in second gear and pull all right. And all of a sudden, I had to hit my brakes, and the ironing board fell off. Well, I got out, and I slammed the door, and just about the time I slammed the door, two cars run together right in front of us. Hadn't been for that ironing board, it would have been on both doors as we'd roll out, because I didn't see them coming. Well, you know, some things, it's obvious what God's doing. Other things, it's not. So what we have to do is just trust God and thank him. Now, I gave him many thanks for the ironing board after I threw my fit, because I saw what he was doing. But you see, I've learned, just give him thanks anyway. Because even though I may not see what he's doing, I know what he's doing is good. Because God is good. All the time. God is never out to hurt you. Do you know that? He's never out to make life hard for you. God is working things out so that all in all, his purpose is fulfilled. Sometimes awkward things come along. Amen? I have to give thanks for those too. The Bible says that God resists the proud, but gives his grace to the humble. Most of us don't like to be humbled, but it's necessary. If you want more grace, and we all need more grace, we have to go through times sometimes that are a little awkward. Listen to Luke 14, 7 through 11. And he put forth a parable to those which were bidden, when he marked how they chose out the chief rooms, saying unto them, when thou art bidden of any man to a wedding, sit not down in the highest room, lest a more honorable man than thou be bidden of him. And he that bade thee and him come and say to thee, give this man place. And thou begin with shame to take the lowest room. When thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, friend, go up higher. Then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Need to understand that. You see, we can say to the Lord, Lord, I want to be a humble person. I want to have your grace on my life. And we should do that. But sometimes we don't realize what that request is. You see, we have to be humbled in order to be humble. And so sometimes when things happen, God has to bring us down so that he can exalt us. Now, I've learned from a lot of experience, a lot of humbling, the best thing to do is just humble yourself. If you humble yourself, you won't have to be humbled. You see what he said? He that exalts himself shall be humbled, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So the trick is to always think of yourself as you should. The Bible says, if any man thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. You see, God's estimate of our glory. He says, you think you're a hero, and I think you're a zero. Whenever we think that we're something, when the truth is we're nothing, we deceive ourselves. And God has to straighten all that out. So when you go through a humbling experience, thank God for that. Because he's bringing you back to that place where you can get more grace, and more grace is what we all need. Without grace, we struggle. And our Christianity struggles when we don't have God's grace. I remember one time I was showing off, you know, and we were racing. When I went to high school, our cafeteria was separated from the classrooms. And so the last class that we had, we would get out and we'd all race to the lunchroom. Well, the teacher found out we were doing that, so she would let all the female students go first, give them a head start. And so this particular day had been raining. There was a big mud puddle right in front of the cafeteria. And so I had almost caught up with these girls. And I thought, if I just jump that mud puddle, I can beat them to the door. Well, I made a mistake, and I stepped right in the edge of the mud puddle, and my feet went over my head. And I slid across the mud puddle on my back. And I was humbled by that. But, you know, I needed that. I was showing off. I was doing things that to make me look good. And God said, you want to look good, do you? Well, all right. And so I ate my lunch dripping that day. But, you know, thinking back down through your life, the things that have humbled us are good things. It causes us to be able to have God's grace on us. The Bible says God resists the proud, gives his grace to the humble. And sometimes we get proud and we have nothing to be proud about. And God says, let me show you what you need. And through that experience, God humbles us, and then he gives us more grace. So that's a good thing that we can give thanks for. The secret of thankfulness. As I was studying for this sermon, I thought, well, what do we really need to know if we're going to be thankful to God in everything that happens? Well, look what he says here. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You ever thought about that? Everything that happens in your life as a Christian is engineered by God and is filtered through God's love. Nothing can get through to you except that it go through God first. And he has to okay it. You remember when Job was needing to get rid of some fear that he had, the devil came up and God suggested to the devil that Job was a good man. Have you considered my servant Job? Doesn't that just give you cold chills? Think about that. Here's God up in heaven. The devil didn't come up with this idea. It was God. God said, come here, devil. He came over. He said, look, Dennis, you see Job? That's a good man right there. What do you think about it? The devil said, well, why wouldn't he be a good man? You've got him hedged in. He's just all covered up. I can't get to him. He said, you let me take away all the blessings that you have covered him with, and he'll curse you to your face. If that don't give you cold chills, you don't understand what's going on. You see, the Lord works in our lives to get rid of stuff that doesn't need to be there. Job tells us why it happened. He said, the thing that I greatly feared is come upon me. The last chapter, fear was gone. You ever wonder why God did that to Job? Get rid of that fear. Whenever we face difficulties, look for the hand of God behind it. What is God doing through this situation? How is God going to work this out for good? And be thankful. One of the things that's going on in every Christian's life is transformation. Transformation is not optional. You know, whenever you get saved, you're hooked up to Jesus, whether you like it or not. You see, once you get saved, He seals you into the day of redemption. Nothing can separate you from the love of God from that point forward. The Christian life is a whole lot like water skiing, and you tie the ski rope around your arm. You're going to follow the boat. It's best if you stay up on the skis. But even if you don't, you're going to follow the boat. And a whole lot of times, we as Christians get off the skis. Amen? And life gets kind of rough. But it's our choice. We're the ones that makes the decisions that gets us in trouble. God wants us to have a wonderful life. And His purpose is that we are the light of the world. He said, don't put your light under a bushel. What does that mean? Well, we know what the illustration means. If you get a candle and you cover it up, it does no good whatsoever. Nobody sees the light. But He says, don't do that. Put it on a candlestick and it gives light to everybody. So how does that apply to us? There's stuff in our lives that ought not to be in our lives. Amen? God wants us to get rid of that stuff so that the light of Jesus shines through. Now we may say, well, I just don't want to be a fanatic. I don't want to be that serious about it. Let me tell you, Jesus is serious about it. And so He brings things into our lives that begins to change us, and we need to submit to that rather than fight against it. If you fight against it, you're going to have all kinds of problems. Listen to what He says in Romans 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, transformation is where you have all of the wickedness of your flesh that you brought into salvation stripped away by walking in the Spirit. And as you walk in the Spirit, then all of the attributes of Jesus becomes your attributes, not because you do it, but because He does it in you. Jesus in you is the hope of glory. You see, as we are transformed into the image of Christ, and that takes this long if we get in the Spirit, then we don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We don't do all the stuff that puts the light under the bushel. And so God has a plan in order to work us through all the situations of our life. We come into the Christian faith, we may have started habits that are not good. And so we say, well, we want to get rid of that, but somehow it just doesn't go away. So God has to take us through difficulties to transform us. And those difficulties sometimes are painful, but they're good. I remember one time I was dealing with a particular sin, and I asked God to get rid of it. Whatever it takes, that's dangerous talk. Whatever it takes, I want to get rid of this. Boy, my world got turned upside down. And I was complaining to God. And God just reminded me, remember what you said? Whatever it takes, we'll get rid of this. I said, if that's what it's about, bring it on. And He did. And He dealt with the situation. You see, God wants us to represent Him in the world. And that comes through struggles and suffering and trials and problems. We need to be thankful for that. Don't dread what God's going to do in your life. God's good. And he is going to work out something really good in your life. And one of these days when we get to heaven, we look back and review. It's going to be the hard times that we're going to be glad of. Because those are the things that lay up treasures in heaven. Now, I don't know what treasures in heaven are. You know, just getting there seemed like a pretty good treasure to me. But the truth is, God says, lay up your treasures in heaven. And we got it on good authority that that's where it's at. When we get to heaven, we're going to want all the treasures there is. Whatever that means. And so, when we go through these trials, we're laying up treasures in heaven. We need to look at it that way. I had a fellow call me one time and he said, there's a lady in my church that's telling all kinds of lies about me. And he said, I'm really mad. I said, well, have you started rejoicing? And he said, he's kind of quiet on the other end of the phone for a minute. He said, not yet. And I said, well, that's what the Bible says. When men revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. He said, that doesn't even make sense. I said, well, let me help you. Let me help you with that. I said, suppose I was a very wealthy man and you knew it. And I called you up and I said, look here, brother. Every time somebody says anything to you that's bad, I'm going to deposit $100,000 in your bank account. I said, how would that change the way you look at it? He said, I'd be walking down the street just saying, anybody want to say something bad to me today? And if you did, he said, I'd be going, cha-ching. Well, that's what Jesus is saying. Except that he's not going to put it in your bank account down here because you're going to have to leave that behind. He's going to put it where it will be there forever. And so whenever things happen that seem like you ought to be mad about, just go cha-ching. Another big deposit in heaven. Changes the way you look at things, see. God wants to transform us into the image of his son. And that's a wonderful thing. Trust in God is the key. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 and 6. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, I will not fear what man shall do unto me. That's a really good passage. If God's not going to ever leave you nor forsake you, no matter what, when hard times come, hang on to that. Trust God in those times. Because hard times will come. Folks, mark it down. Jesus said, while you're in the world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. When hard times come, thank God. You know what I have learned? When we practice thanksgiving during hard times lessen. That's a fact. Whenever you feel like it's time to quit, throw in the towel, give up, just have your little praise session and thank God for what he's doing in your life. You say, well, that sounds kind of silly. If there was no God, you'd be right. But you see, behind all of that, there's God. And God can make things right. I like what Paul said. He said, I've been cast down, but never forsaken. You know what he's talking about there? That's a shepherding term. Sheep like to get on their back and scratch. But their little fat bodies won't let them turn back over. And if the shepherd doesn't come and roll them back over, they'll die laying on their back. And that's called being cast down. What Paul is saying is, I've been in situations there's no way out of. I've been in situations where this is it. This is the big one. But I've never been forsaken. The shepherd always comes, rolls me over, sets me back on my feet, and says, go again. Every one of us can relate to that. We've been in those situations where there's no way out. No way out from here except that the shepherd come. Put us back on our feet. And then we have that life again. I've been in situations where when God sets everything straight, I think to myself, why did that bother me? God had such a good solution that I should have just trusted him. Should have just gone with it. Finally, triumph comes. At the end of life, there's triumph. Listen to Revelation 19, 6 through 9. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. You see, one of these days, that's the way we're going to end up as Christians. We'll be there with God. And we're going to praise God. And we're going to worship God. And we're going to be clothed in his righteousness. You know, when we think about all of our sinfulness, and we don't understand why we are sinful, we need to be thanking God for the stuff we're not doing. Did you know that the only reason we're not doing horrible things this morning is because of the grace of God? It's there, you know, we all have that sinful nature, but God's grace has overcome it. And if you go for 2 weeks without sin, is that a gift from you to God or from God to you? You see, if you go 2 weeks without sin, that's because God has covered you with his grace. And we need to be thankful for that, rather than saying, God, I have gone 2 weeks without sin. Are you proud of me? But you see, what we need to be saying is, Lord, thank you that your grace has covered me for 2 weeks. And I haven't sinned in 2 weeks because of your grace. See the difference? We need to understand that all of the goodness of this world comes from Jesus and him alone. Then let's look at the safety of thankfulness. He says here, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice this. Every individual Christian has a life designed by God. You see that? This is God's will concerning you. This is not general. This is not for everybody. This is for you. What's going on in your life is God's formula, his architectural plan for your life. And he has been working on you for a long time. It was he who brought you to the place of seeing your sinfulness. It was he who brought you to the place of seeing that you needed a Savior. And it was him who died on the cross to save you. And it's him who's working in your life to get rid of the baggage that you brought into salvation. And he is doing a wonderful job. We just need to rest in his goodness and thank him for what he's doing. The design for your life was made way back. Did you know that? Listen to what Psalm 139, 13 through 16 says. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. You know what he's saying? He's saying you are exactly what he designed you to be. That comforts me. God has fashioned and designed us to be exactly who we are. And he is processing us. And he is working through us to make us into the image of his Son. And he can take anybody anywhere and fix us, because he is working on us individually. His design is not the masses, but it is the individual. Dependence upon him is a tremendous safety. Listen to what he says in Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Who needs peace? We all do. Who wants that perfect peace? Well, he gives us the formula right here. He says, take everything as it comes. Thank God for it, because God is at work in our lives. He is arranging everything for our good. He is preparing us for heaven. Folks, let me make this statement, lest you misunderstand. God will sacrifice the things in this life to lay up treasures in heaven. Don't ever forget that. Right now, it may seem like a terrible thing. But when we get to heaven, it'll seem like a good thing. God is working in our lives to prepare us for heaven. And so that's the reason for our thankfulness. We have to have the view way beyond this life in order to see the benefits of the sufferings in this life. The Bible says that the sufferings of this life are not to be compared with the glory that we shall have with him. And so that's the reason we can give thanks for everything and all things, because God is looking into the future. Think with me. What are you going to have on this earth in 100 years? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. What are you going to have in heaven 10 million years from now? Whatever you laid down up there, still be there. 100 million years from now, still be there. You see, God is putting all that together for us. And he's storing it up. And he says, moth and rust will not corrupt, and thieves will not break through and steal. It will be there for us. And so we have to have the long view. We can't have the short view, because the short view says, get all you can all you get, sit on the lid and poison the rest. But the long view says, let's just do this life God's way, so that whenever we leave this world, we will have treasures in heaven and be able to lift up praise and worship to him. Deliverance is what God is about in our lives. He is delivering us from the wickedness that the devil has implanted in our brains. He's setting us free, little by little, painfully sometimes, but he's setting us free. Psalm 40, 1 through 5 says this, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. How true that is. God has lifted us out of the miry clay and set our feet on the solid rock. God delivers all who put their trust in him. You see, man can't keep the rules. It's because we're sinful. And because we're wicked to the core. What we need is a Savior. And Jesus is that Savior. Jesus died on the cross. He took every sin that every human would ever commit upon himself. And he took the guilt of that and offered his body as a sacrifice for all those sins. And when he was done, he said, it's paid in full. Now he can offer salvation as a free gift to all those who put their trust in him. You say, Brother Allen, I don't think I deserve that. You're exactly right. But you don't have to. You say, Brother Allen, I don't think I can live up to that. You're exactly right. But you don't have to. Jesus paid it all. If you put your trust in him, he will save you to the uttermost. And he will begin a work in your life to transform you into the image of his son. If you're here this morning without Jesus, let me encourage you to put your trust in him before it's too late. We don't know what a day will bring forth. We may all be gone tomorrow. We may be here another 20, 30 years. But the Bible says, my spirit shall not always strive with man. It is important that we deal with God when he deals with us. If you feel in your heart that this is the time for you to get saved, then respond. You say, Brother Allen, how would I do that? Just come down to the front and say, I want to be saved. I'll take it from there. Whatever the Lord would have you do, let him have his way. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for your love and your mercy, your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, for your salvation that's free to everyone who will accept it. And Lord, I pray that if there's one here that does not know Christ as Savior, that you would save them before it's too late. And Lord, we pray for all those who are suffering and struggling. Give them special grace to be able to be thankful, knowing that you're at work in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.